Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
In Texas, we are live with Breaking the Silence, and I am just so pumped up tonight that we have you with us and watching, and I think we're going to have people from all around the country and around the world watching tonight because we got a lot of promotion on this. So my son said this went out to wider ranges than normal, so we're looking for a great crowd tonight. So just welcome to the program. We always like to say every week that if you invest with us 45 minutes to an hour, I promise you, you're going to be able to take away something that will increase the value of your life, give you a tidbit or two that you can use next week, draw you closer to God, help you deal with stress better. Something will be said tonight that if you really listen in, focus, that you're going to be able to just come out of it saying, wow, that was worth my time. And that's what we're shooting for. We just have a wonderful guest. And I have a wonderful person, a good friend of mine from our past shows that's going to be introducing our guest this evening. I want to kind of just let you know what's happening in the next few weeks. Next week, we have Welby O'Brien. And Welby O'Brien, and I know Curtis, my son, I want you to listen to this, has written books, and she has an organization called Love Our Vets. With my son being in the Army, I know he's going to be interested in this. And she's going to be talking next week about PTSD, not only in the military, but what COVID is doing with PTSD, how the children are dealing with PTSD, and how folks like me that have endured trauma in my past, does this still affect me? How does it affect me? How to deal with it? And you will absolutely fall in love with Welby O'Brien. And that will be next week right here in Houston. As you kind of look back here, we are experiencing the sunset here on the most beautiful city in the world, Houston. And it's kind of cloudy because we've been dealing with some kind of hurricane activity that we're going to probably see the next couple of weeks. Rained hard yesterday, really hard. But today it hasn't just kind of drizzled off and on, but keep us in your prayers because the next couple of days are going to be pretty tough, I think, for Corpus Christi area and up the coastline. So don't forget next week, the following week or two, we're going to celebrate our year anniversary being on the best radio station in the world, BBS Radio in California. And Doug and Don are just the best producers and owners of that radio station ever. And we may have a special guest. I keep waiting for the email to come through because I kind of just threw out the gauntlet. I thought if I could interview one person in this entire world before I die, who would that one person be? And it came to mind, and I just reached out to her. And I am hoping that she responds to me. I found her private email. So I did a little research on that. And I just can't wait to hear. So I'm trusting in the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to make that announcement too. So just sit back, grab some coffee. There's no stress tonight. You know, I've already checked out the TV guide and the TV guide on the actual television where you scroll down. There's nothing worth watching tonight, okay? So you might as well just be watching us and learn something, learn how to deal with your kids in a better way. And this is really going to be a good program tonight. Okay, first of all, I want to introduce our special introduction guest, and that's our friend Joe Hendershaw. So Joe, come on in from Ohio, the wonderful state of Ohio. And you and Darty are dear friends of mine, and I just want to ask you a couple questions. Joe, are you there? Can we see you and hear you?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, Dr. Williams. How are you?
Doing great. So tell me, Joe, what's happening in your world before we get to the guest tonight? How's everything going with you? How's your world behaving up there in Ohio?
Well, everything's going okay. We're struggling with COVID and like everybody else around the world. And, you know, we're praying for everybody and that everybody stays healthy all around the world. And especially with the work with that you do, Dr. Williams down there, helping people and having the hurricane, we send out special prayers your way. But everything here in the Buckeye State is going well. And we're just doing our thing, trying to get the kids ready for school. We'll be homeschooling our kids to start the school year this year.
Yeah. How's it coming on the book, Warriors of Hope?
We're getting our warriors together. We're talking to them, we're in the works. So we're hoping to have that out in 2020. We appreciate it. So Warriors of Hope is our next book. Supporting the Wounded Educator is doing well right now. So we're doing a lot of trainings across the globe on supporting our wounded educators, along with supporting our wounded children.
Fantastic. Well, Joe, you're the one that connected me with our guests tonight, and I appreciate this because it's an honor to have our guests this evening. But I wanted you to kind of just do the introduction, if you would, and bring him in, and I'll just turn the microphone over to you.
Okay. Well, I'll dodge out as soon as I introduce him. First of all, you know, I got to know Dr. Williams, and I got to know his heart and his love for the Lord and what he's trying to do to change lives. And I just thought of Tim, and you would really connect and in a big way. And with I'll explain how I met Tim. I met Tim about 10 years ago. We both signed up for a doctoral program together. And this will tell you a little bit about Tim and I. where we're at, but the very first night of our first doctoral class, his fourth daughter was born, and the very first night of our first doctoral class together, my wife was in Ethiopia adopting our son. So we had this in common. Our first class we met, first time we ever met each other, and we talked about being fathers and our families and our wives and our sons and our daughters. And just became really fast friends. And then, of course, we did some work, you know, through the years on our doctoral work. But I didn't know Tim was such an accomplished wrestler, theater, just an overall good person, educated person. But in the wrestling world, he's a very well thought of, respected across the globe. In wrestling, he was a three-time state Ohio champion in Ohio high school wrestling. Went on to NCAA All-American at Purdue, I believe, and then went on to represent the United States in the Pan Am Games and I think the Junior Games as well. And then he was a member of the 2000 and 2004 Olympic Trials. Representing the United States, and went on to coach, assistant coach, I believe, at Penn State, Ohio State, Lehigh, and then at Ashland University, and then he became Regional 2 Coach of the Year. So he's very accomplished wrestler and coach. He left that world that he was so accomplished in, to focus once he completed his doctorate on Christian education. And so he's now down in Fairhope, Alabama. It's his first year as the superintendent, head of schools at Bayshore Christian Academy. Tim, along with his wonderful wife, Kara, have four children, Boaz and Zeke, and Rebecca and Anna. And they helped raise another young lady from China, Crystal. So I've got to know his family quite well through over the past 10 years. And we've stayed friends, and Tim's a very accomplished writer. And he was in our doctoral class, was the top student. And you'll get to hear why here in just a minute. I've met his mom and dad, and he's the son of a pastor. He's a wonderful family. But with all those accolades, all that education, I have coming from a wonderful family. Tim, part of Tim's story is it hasn't always been a smooth road to glory. He's overcome some obstacles. I'm sure he'll share those with you tonight. And his faith life and how it took him through to these wonderful accomplishments that he's had in his life. But I think his biggest accomplishment is his faith life and his relationship in God. So I'm just proud to introduce you to my friend, Dr. Timothy Durnlin, to the world.
Fantastic. Dr. Durnlin, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Dr. Williams, it's so good to be on your show tonight. And I heard you say that Houston's the most beautiful city in the world. I heard one of your guests a couple weeks ago say that Austin was the second most beautiful. I'm going to challenge for that second most beautiful title in Fairhope, Alabama. We have a pretty special place down here.
Well, it has a good name. I have to grant you that. Hope's involved, so that's always good. So there's at least a fair amount of hope
there
in Alabama, right? Okay. Well, thank you, Joe, for introducing the doctor with us tonight. And doctor, I just, it's a joy to have you. I have checked you out. I have read your book, and I always try to read the book the week prior to, and I really want to dig into that, but I just want to welcome you to the program. You know, it seems like when Joe introduced you to me several weeks ago, when he mentioned you, he immediately went to wrestling, the sports, the place where you had success. We can talk about that, but I have a feeling something could have, because I don't know, Joe didn't give me any insight here. Was there anything prior to that that caused you to even get interested in that sport? Wrestling was not my cup of tea. I didn't like that one at all. I didn't like to be pinned down. I screamed uncle before they even came to me. Tell me about what even got you interested in that sport as we go into your Christian education journey.
Well, it was definitely my parents in it. And I'd love to hang out a little bit in my early years and talk about my parents. And I have three older brothers who are all bigger than me. I was born premature and the youngest, so I had no choice but to try and wrestle so I could get a little food. but definitely my dad and my brothers being wrestlers got me into it. Looking at me, I'm only 5'2". You wouldn't expect that I'd be a wrestler, but it's nice for smaller young men in weight class sports. So it was really helpful. It was really helpful. But with my parents getting me involved in it, it was just a really good blessing for our family.
Fantastic. Okay, when growing up as a child, did you have the perfect home? Did everything just go peachy keen? Everything was great?
No, sir. It wasn't always smooth. And you've just done some amazing work. And I don't have a tremendously awful story that I've recovered from, like a lot of your guests. But maybe my story will help a couple people who have grown up in mildly difficult situations. So my dad was from a broken home and an abusive father who was an alcoholic who died at a young age. So my dad was raised by his uncle, and my mom is the son of an immigrant who moved over here from Europe to get out of the coal mines at age 16 by himself. And so the two of them started the pattern of setting a good foundation as they raised me. So my first 4 years were in a trailer home in a little mobile home with my three brothers. And through all of that we went through, my parents always set forth faith and humility and hope and dedication, determination. throughout our life and never once complained. They just set a stage for us to have opportunity. And so it was really nice. And so we didn't have a lot growing up, and there was some things that I experienced looking back, realizing, wow, my parents really protected me from a lot and helped me through some things. And I'm trying to do the same then for my children as well.
So when you got involved in the sport so heavily that where you was actually going into Olympic trials, I mean, to me, that's, you know, you're a star. I mean, we just don't get to talk to people like that. What kind of experience was that for you? What kind of experience was that and work was to get up to that point? And did you see anything behind the curtain that we wouldn't know from the public of really the dedication of what those Olympic athletes, for instance, Tokyo being canceled or postponed till next year, the impact? I think I have somewhere, I just bought the book that Simone Biles, the magazine that she was on the cover of this week. And she was talked about the emotional impact of that being postponed. Kind of give us a behind the scene of what it's like to be an Olympic athlete.
Sure. When you put your whole life into something. So for me, the training started at age 5 and went through the age of 30 is when I finally retired from the sport as an athlete. And so just you put everything into it. So being postponed by a year could really affect some folks who were peaking at the right time who may not end up making the team. So that'll be really tough for them, I'm sure. It'll be interesting to see how some of them handle it, but most of them are pretty resilient, very resilient. So for me growing up, you just overcome, and you're always taught to overcome and look at the glass half full. So diet is an important thing in wrestling, and I remember times where we would have the doorbell ring, or we didn't have a doorbell. Someone would knock on the door, and we'd have bags of food sitting out on our porch because we didn't have enough money for food all the time. And so the local guy, we called him Dumpster Dan, but Dan Williams knew when the food was being thrown away at the grocery store, and he'd round it up and drop it off at our doorstep. And there was just lots and lots of stories like that I went through. It just helps you become a little bit more resilient, so that when harder things come up as you're trying to make the Olympic team, you're tougher and stronger and able to keep pushing through and not get thrown off by small things.
Yeah. Now, Doctor, when you made the transition from the sport into education, you didn't just make the transition from that into regular education. You transitioned into Christian education. I guess your father had, you know, your family and your upbringing had a lot to do with that. Why did and what caused you to want to make a difference in these kids' lives by becoming involved in Christian education?
Well, for me, everything is grounded in the truth of Christ. I wanted to have an opportunity to give hope for the next generation. And for me, true hope has to be connected with Jesus Christ, our wounded Savior. And so I was loving wrestling. And as Joe said, I was having a lot of success and coaching a lot of All-Americans and being named to have some good awards. But I wanted to reach more students at a younger age. I saw a lot of students coming to me who had been wounded in their past and were just struggling to figure out how to make good decisions. So I thought if we could reach them at a younger age and give them hope in their education, train them how to think, train them how to engage critically in life and have that truth of scripture with it, that we could really help not only kids who are struggling early on, but give them a good direction for their future.
Fantastic. Okay. All the fluff is over. When we come back after this commercial break, we're going to dig in to what your feeling is right now with what's happening in education. Okay. Why would a parent want to choose Christian education over public education. And I want to talk about your awesome book that is free for the download, at least a portion of it for the COVID situation. And I want to dig into that. So don't leave us. We're going to come right back on the other side of the break. And if you want to call in at 888-627-6008, we would love to get comments from your questions. Or you can be right on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page, and we can get to your question right through there, and Curtis will come on.
This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in June 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio.
And that book ought to be coming out, and we're kind of redoing a little bit of it. We're also doing a youth version called When the Dark Clouds Come, and teach the 12 to 18-year-olds how to deal when they're looking for hope, when they're depressed, when they're hurting, how to deal with that emotional stuff inside of them. And then we're going to teach him in this book also the importance of how to journal. So that's all going to be coming out at the same time. So we have Dr. Timothy Dernlin with us from, you are now in Alabama, Fairhope, Alabama, the second most beautiful city in the country. And he's just great. And he is, I guess you're what we call in the public education, you're like the superintendent?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the head of the school. You're the boss. Cool. You're the big cheese right there at Bayshore Christian School. Tell me now, what do you think is the number one issue that children are dealing with and need the most guidance from an adult? What are they battling that you see in schools, and what do they need right now?
It seems to me that it's anxiety. That yeah. There's so much anxiety, and sometimes that leads to or stems from fear or depression. And sometimes that's from being overscheduled. We're such a busy culture and putting a lot of expectations on our children. So there's a lot that goes into that, but I'm seeing that. So, sometimes you might not think that we see as much of that in Christian education, but we certainly do. So I had worked at charter schools and public schools at one point, and it's every bit as prevalent in our schools and in our children.
What about bullying? Do you have experiences with that in your education, maybe in your own life, and then seeing children deal with that now? What kind of issue is that for our kids today?
Sure, I experienced a little bit when I was younger. Didn't have the term then, but it's a constant intentional intimidation and trying to pressure someone and humiliate some and belittle someone on a consistent basis, which is different than just being unkind from time to time, which we all tend to do in our lives. So sure, I've had to deal with that. And that it's too bad, because a lot of times, I'm sure you've heard it said, hurting people hurt people. And yeah. So a lot of times the bullies are just hurting people. And so we just try and work a lot through three stages of helping people when they do something outside of the handbook or something like bullying. We work through repentance and then forgiveness and then restoration. And wow. So we try and take them through those three steps, whatever the situation is. And it takes a little bit more time and it's a little messier, but we really want heart transformation, not just behavior modification. And so we try and do a lot of just one-on-one talking with students and modeling what Christ did for us.
You know, not talking about any of your parents, of course, in your schools, but parents that you've heard about in the past. Okay.
Sure.
What kind of advice would you give to parents if they were listening right now to say, hey, this is a tough time for not only adults, but also kids. What kind of wisdom would you just want to share with parents in this day and age, 2020, July 2020, of how to just help your kids maintain with what they're going through? What advice do you have?
A couple of things that may seem at odds with each other, but two things come to mind. Love and patience. So just loving your children, being patient, understanding that they're still so young and just need your love and guidance. And you don't need to have perfect kids. They're not a reflection of you. They're their own person. And so don't try and don't worry about how they're reflecting on you. The other thing is allow them to fail. Allow them to put hard things in front of them that they can't always achieve. And so, so that when hard things come in their life, they're not naive and they can be resilient to some of those things.
When you go out and speak outside of your own school, I understand you're a presenter and a speaker lecturer. What kind of topics do you want to talk about, like to talk about, things that really make an impact on people's lives?
I've been leaning more and more toward pursuing virtue. Joe, Dr. Hendershot, who introduced me, had me talk about hope for wounded coaches and hope for wounded athletes specifically. So there's a lot of abuse. You mentioned a gymnast earlier. There's a lot of abuse emotionally, physically, mentally in athletics because it has gotten to be such a overly competitive and overly emphasized thing in American culture. And so there's a lot of hurting people. So just loving people and talking about pursuing virtue. If we all pursue virtue in our life, then we'll be a more virtuous culture.
Okay. Now this word is probably a word that I don't use weekly, virtue. I don't know when I have even used that in a sentence. You have built books on that word. Tell me what virtue means to you, how you look at that, and the importance of that.
So I'm gonna talk for a little bit here in that virtue is seeking to be a flourishing human. And so I come at it a little bit from the Aristotelian point of view, where he said that virtue is the sweet spot or golden mean between two vices.
Okay.
So so let's take the virtue of hope. Okay. I know you're a big advocate on hope and you're really helping a lot of people. Hope would be the virtue that we're trying to achieve. So if we want to be a virtuous person in the area of hope, it requires action and not just thought or ideas, but really taking action that are in hope. If we're too hopeful, believe it or not, Aristotle said we could have too much hope and then we become naive. And so that's the vice of excess. And the vice of deficiency would be permissiveness. Pessimism. Pessimism, the other P word. So if we don't have hope, It's the vice that's the deficiency of hope, and that's pessimism. So we want to resist and push away from being pessimistic, and we want to resist and push away from being naive and hit that sweet spot of hope. And so just trying to really pursue that in our own lives. Sometimes we get so worked up and worried about other people and what other people are doing, and we're missing the boat ourselves. And so just trying to look at how we can be more virtuous in our own lives.
Now, this is the book that I downloaded, Classical Christian Virtues. And this is the COVID version that you have, offer free right now. They can get right on your website and download this. And I read this one plus the other one. And I think what you're talking about down in here is this here, where you have all these different virtues. I don't know if my light is just really bright tonight. I have to tone that down in proportion. And you have like bravery, and the in deficiency is timidity, and then in excess is recklessness. And I've never in all of my education have I ever seen anybody do, hey, this is what you need to have in your life, and this is this side, this is this side, bring it to the middle, and you're going to achieve it. Where did you come up with this concept?
I'm in classical Christian education, so we read a lot of ancient books, a lot of dusty books, and try and look at original sources. And I've been in this for 8 years, and finally, just recently, read Nicomachean Ethics by Aristotle. And it's something I should have read a long time ago in my career, but just discovered it. And so he had that idea for seven virtues. And so I thought, why not look at it in 60 different virtues and look at come up with different vices so we can inspire people and give them a little guidance on how to stay on a good path and not fall into a ditch on either side. And we're actually using it in our school now. 30 minutes every week, we stop the 7th through 12th grade schedule, and we get in groups of 12 and study a virtue a week and talk about it and talk about how we can act on it, and to try and just call it up. And it is a tricky word, right? Virtue, we don't talk that way much. And so it kind of wakes us up just using some of that ancient language a little bit.
The book that you have written, I think there's 60, you said.
Yes, sir.
And then in the COVID version, there's the seven.
There's seven.
What do you think is the one or two that you want to make sure you don't leave out? I mean, some of these is like words I if I can't spell it, you know, I don't usually like to eat anything I can't spell. It's hard to try to digest a word that I can't. I'm not for sure what that one even means. I have to pull out the dictionary. But what would be a couple of the ones that you really think, hey, wait, you got to have these kids. You got to have these. You got the kids in a group and they're studying this and they're taking a break to study. What are some of those main ones?
Well, a lot of the medieval scholars drew trees that had virtues kind of coming up out of a root and going out into branches. And so I ended up drawing one of my own, and the root is love. And then some of the first main branches are faith, humility, and hope. And then some of the next branches after that lead into patience, righteousness, wisdom, gentleness, goodness, gratitude, kindness, self-control, peace, courage, joy. But you said just a few. You said just a few. So I'm gonna say love, faith, humility, hope, and gratitude are some of them.
And there's no way you can even be talking about this without throwing in scripture, because you're pulling scripture on me, doctor.
I am.
You're talking about the gifts of the Spirit is right in that line, and you're just going right down it, because those are things that even when you take the most educated classical writers, they always, isn't it interesting how they always go back to the word to give real truth, and then they just kind of break it down in different language, like, well, that's from the Bible.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? So you caught me on that. It was faith, hope, and love, and then the fruit of the Spirit, right? Are just so foundational. And if that love is rooted and grounded in the Trinity of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then we have that truth and the transcendentals of truth, goodness, and beauty that we can really study and blossom from. And I've tried hard to really simplify these virtues into just 3 pages each and just have a little definition and a piece of scripture for each and then some journaling. I love that your next book has a lot of journaling. So journaling through that, and it's really, really, it's important and helpful.
Yeah. Where do you think the public education, the public schools are missing the boat? Because a lot of people's going to be homeschooling for a long time, at least down here in Houston. I mean, they're getting the virtual stuff over the internet from the schools, but they're not going to go back into a building for quite a while, I'm afraid. And it may be good, maybe bad. There's pros and cons to both of that. But what would you say to the public school system? Hey, you guys are missing it on this. You've been on both sides.
For me, I have to say scripture. And I know we can't have the Bible in our public schools right now. But at least just standing for some type of truth and standing on that there are truths and there are falsehoods, and we can't have a relative society where everything is true. Because if everything is true, then nothing is true.
When you look at the world, what's happening in the world, and you watch CNN or Fox or MSNBC or whatever news, I try to stay off all of them.
But I do too.
Yeah, because there's very little truth. And I think that is affecting our children in a major way. How, because after the next break, we're going to jump into this with the COVID and what the world's doing to our kids. But how important is truth to children when we deal with them, not only from a teacher's point of view, but parents, and to be honest with them and direct with them and give them truth? How important is that?
It's foundational. It's foundational. When you said something earlier, it could lead our children to be cynical and skeptical, and then harden their hearts to anything in the world. And we don't want that. We need to be more open and trusting, and we're missing that a lot in society right now, aren't we?
Yeah. It seems like every time we turn around that, I guess my pet peeve is when somebody speaks, whether it's a president or a congressman or a governor or whatever, there's always somebody immediately that jumps on right after. When I grew up, it was Walter Cronkite, and he reported the news. It was very little editorial. Nobody reports the news anymore. They give you their way of thinking about it. And their way's the only way because they want ratings.
Yeah, and it's hard to have heroes in today's society, because all we want to do is look for what folks have done wrong or what they're not doing right currently. And if that's the case, we won't have anyone to look at, because all of us have fallen short. All of us have things where we don't measure up on. And so I think that's something that we're missing in society too, because like you said, we have someone waiting in the rings to just jump on someone right away and not be gracious, not be kind. And it strips away a lot of hope that we had in previous generations.
Yeah. And I think I don't want to, cause I don't get political at all here or at church, or I try to stay away from it. But nowadays, even when our president is speaking underneath the screen, they'll say, the lies. They'll say, this is wrong. This is wrong. And it's like, wait, this isn't the way it ought to be. There still ought to be a respect for the office, whether we respect the man or not. And it just seems like real truth isn't coming out right now. On the other side of the break, I want to get into COVID. And I don't want to talk about, because everybody's tired of COVID, but I want to get into why this book, how can this help me? Well, it did when I read it, on this classic Christian virtue, 7 virtues to cultivate during the COVID-19 pandemic. And we're going to get into that really deep just on the other side of this break. So don't leave. Hang right there. And you're going to want to get his email address and website address to be able to download this free of charge. Be with us right back after this commercial break.
HCI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right, welcome back. You get three doctors for the price of one tonight. Dr. Joe was with us earlier. Dr. Timothy Derlin is here from Alabama with me tonight. And I'm enjoying this. I enjoy talking about education. I enjoy people that have given their lives to make an impact on children. And there is no doubt in my mind, Doctor, that after reading your bio and hearing and going back and looking at some of this stuff in your history that I always look at, that you could have been probably one of the leading coaches, maybe even an Olympic team wrestler coach. I mean, you had that kind of a resume, CV behind you to be able to do that. But you didn't throw it away. You used what you've learned to then go, what's really important to me, kids? And I applaud you because that's what our children need more than anything. With what's going on with our world right now, COVID, the protest, the lack of respect for any kind of authority, and I'm not talking about just police, any kind of authority nowadays. There's just no, it's just not there. How do you teach kids? How do you get back to, you know, my days at a little grade school in Southern Illinois? You didn't run into the halls. You didn't talk in the halls. You didn't chew gum in class. Now it's a whole different world. How do you build that kind of control again after it seems like we're out of control as a world?
Well, it definitely starts at a young age, and we do have K through 12 school, and there's about 400 schools like ours around the nation now that are classical Christian schools who are really trying to recover that. And with any organization, shared values, assumptions, and beliefs are at the bedrock of a strong organizational culture. And so we do implement discipline and yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and walking in the halls. But all that's rooted in dignity, not only of others, but also dignity in yourself and working in that and training folks up to know that we're created in the image of God, and we should love and respect others, even when we disagree with them. To have a civil dialogue with someone you disagree with is such a refreshing breath of fresh air these days. There's so much arguing and yelling going on. And so we teach formal logic in our schools at seventh and eighth grade. And then we teach rhetoric where there's a lot of dialogue throughout the school. So they have to go through some of those programs before they graduate. We have etiquette classes to train them up in how to treat others well and behave with dignity so that they can be productive members of society. I'm really hopeful for the next generation because some of the graduates I see coming out of these schools, I missed this type of education. It skipped over our generation. And some of these students are starting to get it again. And I'm really hopeful for America and the world as I see some of these graduates coming out of our schools.
What do you say to somebody from the outside looking in right now to say, hey, wait, that works for Fairhope, Alabama? I mean, but in the real world, aren't you just putting these kids in a bubble and then you're going to burst their bubble when they said, okay, you're let out into the world? It's like the sheep to the wolves. How are you preparing those kids? And is it really that vitally different to get those virtues and those values and that training and education from K through 12 in a place where you know it's being built on God, God's word, and then let them out to the world? What are we doing to them?
Dr. Williams, I love that question. We are absolutely not trying to put these kids in a bubble. We don't want to build walls and fortresses and withdraw from society. Instead, we want to have a greenhouse. And we expose the students to so many non-Christian thoughts and different literature and a lot of things that they can wrestle through while they're in our greenhouse, so their roots can grow strong and their trunks can deep and their trunks can grow strong. So when they are transplanted out, they're strong, virtuous men and women that can go forward in life and not be knocked over by the first wind that hits them. So we intentionally expose them to those things and help them think critically through a lot of those things before they leave our walls.
I think that's one of the things that our society is missing as a whole, is that we want to throw out very general beliefs. For instance, I wonder what Beyonce believes today. Oh, we're all going to follow that one. Oh, J-Lo's on this. We're going to follow this. But when it comes down to, hey, wait, that's a surface value or belief. Where does that go through the time of stress, trouble, wind, like you said, storms? How does that soil hold up in real life? It may sound good for a news bite, but overall, does it stand the test of time? And most of the time it doesn't. And that's what you're implying to that. You're planting seeds that's growing roots that's going really deep.
Yes, sir. And that's I love that you said stand the test of time. That's one of the reasons we like to go back and read the ancient literature and read ancient thought and philosophy and see how it matches up with scripture. But at the end of the day, we know that the ancients don't have the ultimate truth. The Ancient of Days, God has the ultimate truth for us. So it's we don't read a lot of fluff. We don't put a lot of cotton candy in our curriculum. It is my one daughter is at Wake Forest, and they call it Hard Work U. We like to call our schools the same type of thing, hard work schools, so that it teaches that resilience as well.
Well, Wake Forest is an awesome school, and you went to Purdue, right?
Yes, sir.
Wow! Those are pretty popular schools and very, very.
Well,
very
good. I know you're associated with Baylor. I'm looking at our 16-year-old that may be heading over that way.
Hey, bring it on down at Baylor College of Medicine. Of course, we're the medical school. It's one of the best places in the world, like I say. But Baylor College is also a good university.
He loves math and science, so maybe you'll meet him someday.
Hey, that'd be great. 888-627-6008 if you want to call in. I'm watching to see if we have Curtis on the line or anything, to see if we have any questions through Facebook. Okay, now as we go into the last 10 minutes, Doctor, I want to talk about the virtues that you selected for, but before we get to those virtues, what do you think COVID's doing to our children, since you're in the foxhole? I mean, you're down there battling with them when school's in session and probably during the summer and all that. What's some of the things that you have noticed in Fairhope that COVID is impacting on the kids? What kind of impact is this having on our children?
I've been able to meet with some of our students on Zoom and see other of them in person as we ramp up to open up our school year again. And some of them I've noticed have gained weight that was surprising, because they've just been dormant for too long. Yeah. Some of them have maybe had parents telling them a lot of fearful things, and they've been watching the news, and so it's adding to that anxiety and depression that's out there. I'm seeing a lot of great parents. We love to partner with parents. And so we don't think that we're the experts in children. We know that the parents are the experts in their children. So we just partner with them. I've also seen a lot of parents just doing a lot of great things and just taking on a lot of new projects at home and learning a lot of different skills and new skills at home. A couple of students have started their own businesses. One of our students just developed his own app that he has that he wants to partner up people who want to volunteer with people that need help so that they can, he wants to get that around the nation with churches and schools. And so a lot of them are using it in a lot of neat entrepreneurial ways to help society and serve and give back. And they're letting their theology come out of their fingertips and serve others. So it's been fun to see some of the new and exciting entrepreneurs that have popped up from this as well.
That's great. Now with this download that I think is like 30 some pages, free of charge. You're just letting people do that. Why did you pick these seven, and where did you get the idea of, hey, what's going on with COVID? I have some virtues that need to be established and understood to be able to make it through. Tell me how that worked.
They were just, it was on my mind, and I thought, how can I help? How can I do my small part? And so I wanted to pick some that might readily come to your mind, some virtues, and others that might be surprising. So I focused on adaptation, calmness, mm-hmm. courage, gratitude, optimism, wisdom, and wit. So I thought that those would be some good ones. We need to adapt during this time and pivot. We need calmness. We need to be bolstered up with courage and just be grateful. It's taught us a lot of gratitude, I think, to be grateful for what we have. And then,
okay, now let's stop on that virtue.
Yeah.
Before we go into the rest of them, because I want to get all these. Okay. Gratitude, what do they have? You know, because I'm doing this study, and everybody that watches the show realizes that I'm reading books and books and books on mindfulness. I didn't know what mindfulness was 6 months ago, and I have all these guests on that say, oh, you got to be mindful. It's like, well, I'm out of my mind, but most of the time I'm in the right mind, and then now I'm reading it. Is gratitude have anything to do with mindfulness, or is it just saying, hey, wait, I have something to be thankful for where I'm at, no matter what is going on around me? Where's your take on that, on gratitude?
I probably haven't studied mindfulness as much as you. I'd love to hear your connection that you made with it. Mine is just trying to encourage them to look specifically at what they have and to not take things for granted. I mean, we have been so blessed in America. I've had the opportunity through wrestling to travel to dozens of different countries, and a lot of them poor countries where we're just training and wrestling in barns and going to pit toilets. And we've been given so much, and sometimes it's so easy to take it for granted and not be grateful and appreciate our parents or appreciate God who gave us things. So,
probably what we're enduring and seeing as a country is things that some countries endure and see every year. Things that come into their systems, into their society, into their world that wipes people out. And, you know, we are blessed in this country, but I think we can pull out some definite positives out of that. And gratitude was good. Okay, go ahead.
I was talking with Joe about that the other day, Dr. Hendershot, who was on for the introduction, and he mentioned that COVID might be helping us with empathy because we're all experiencing COVID around the world. And so we can step into other people's shoes and feel what they're feeling as a whole world right now, because we've all have that shared experience. So maybe that's a benefit. It's tough to look and see benefits right now while we're in it.
Yeah, I understand. I hear you. Okay, you go down to one that is probably optimism, I can understand that. And we only have a few minutes. Wisdom, I can understand you need to be wise. Wit, where did you come out of? You had seven to deal with this. Just tell me what your concept of that is, because I love it and I read that one twice. But tell me what you think about wit and how that virtue is something we need right now so bad.
So wit is the golden mean between buffoonery, which is wit in excess, and boorishness, which is wit and deficiency. And honestly, it just came to me just by seeing early Facebook posts and early messaging where people were just really going overboard and making fun of this disease and making fun of people that are approaching it and making fun of how people were feeling about this early on back in March when this was just hitting us. And so I thought we need to handle this with wit, but not buffoonery or boorishness. And so just trying to encourage everybody, just think about others when you're making these comments and talking about this, because I like to have fun. I have a joyful environment, but just being mindful of some of those things.
Now, when you have the book over your shoulder there on the shelf, the classic Christian virtues, did you just pull these out of that book of the 60 and kind of readapt them a little bit, or are these just directly out of that book?
I did pull them out and rework them. So, like you said, the book is here. So there are 60. So I pulled those 7 out. I kept the introduction to the book and then just wrote a couple things on COVID-19 on how it could relate to us. Again, I just wanted to get it out there and see if it could help people. So, if you're not able to buy the book, at least you can download a free version and get an idea on how you might start thinking about becoming a more virtuous person, which strangely enough, the concept is if you pursue virtue, that's actually what produces the good life and happiness is becoming a virtuous person.
Yeah. And, you know, to me, the great wisdom that I got out of it was the charts. I never thought about looking at everything to both extremes and then finding the core center truth. Genius. I mean, that is absolutely brilliant. And just reading how, I mean, even when we talked, you said, now, hey, you know, this is between wit and you went on both sides of that. That is what we need.
It's helped me even in my parenting. We're starting to talk about it more and more as in our around our home. And so we do one of these studies a week in our home, and one of our children will lead the study for the family, and we just talk and think about, oh, what literature do we see where this virtue is expressed, or where do we find it in the Bible, and how do we see it in our own house, and where can we strike that golden mean? It's helped me as a person a lot just to think in that as well. We were camping this past a couple weeks ago out west, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, the tent blew over and it was raining on us. And my kids had just been talking about calmness and the virtue of calmness the day before. And I thought, okay, I need to be calm here in this situation.
That's great. That's great.
I knew they were watching.
Go ahead. Do what?
I knew my kids were watching. I didn't want to be calm right then.
If people want to, folks want to download this, or they want to buy your book, and you have several other books, what, I don't have it in front of me, but what's the one book that has, I think, the school buses on the front? What's the name of that book?
Spiritual Formation in Christian Schools.
Spiritual Formation in Christian Schools. And I have read this free download, and I've also read the classical Christian Virtues. I recommend that highly to people. It's a good read. It's not a quick read, but it's a good read. You have to really think. Unlike my books, you don't have to have much thinking. You just kind of read them. But, there's a lot of thought in that, a lot of wisdom on that page. But if they wanted to get a hold of you, this download, your webpage, your Facebook or whatever, how would somebody get in touch with you?
Thank you for the opportunity to share that. It's my name, timdernlin.com. So it's not easy, but it's T-I-M, Tim, and then my last name, DERNLAN.com. And they can find the information there in a podcast that I've started on virtue. You can also go to Amazon.com and type in classical Christian virtues, and the book will pop up there on Amazon. And I'd love to make a bold ask before the night's over. I have a small startup podcast, but I would love to have you on there sometime. You have so much wisdom to share. We can talk about that at some point.
Anytime. You just set the date. Let me know what date and I'll be there. I promise you.
Oh, that's amazing. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you being here tonight. And thank you, doctor. May God bless you and keep your kids safe down there. And as you start up the new school year, that everything with COVID just doesn't affect you. But thank you so much for the time that you've shared with us tonight. And thank you, Dr. Joe, for sharing Dr. Timothy with us. So thank you, doctor. I appreciate it.
Dr. Williams, thank you so much for having me on the show. I love what you're doing, and I really, really appreciate and am humbled that you would have me on here. Thank you.
Well, Well, fantastic. I look forward to being on your podcast. I'll be glad to do that. We end every show, and I know we're going about a minute long, but no big deal. We end every show with always telling the same thing. No matter what you are involved in right now, no matter what's happened to you in your past, no matter what situation you are in this very second, I want to let you know, without a shadow of a doubt, huddle up. You ready? There's hope. There is always hope. Hang on to that hope. Don't give up on that hope. And you just hang on and never let loose. There's always hope. Join us right here next week when we have Welby O'Brien, and that's going to be an awesome program too, next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central, for another edition live from Houston, Texas, of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome week. Keep safe, and God bless. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.